Well, thank you so much, President Reese and Sister Reese, for your kind and warm hospitality. We need something to warm us up, don't we, this morning? So we'll take the warm hospitality from them and the warmth that you bring here with you today. It may be the coldest day of the season, and I'm kind of overwhelmed to see how many of you are here today. Thanks again as well to the beautiful number that was performed by the choir, and for the prayer that given and to be given very much. I'd like to first bring you the warm greetings of the First Presidency. You love them and you pray for them, but they love and pray for you. And we bring that sincere warmth and greeting from them. We operate under the direction of the First Presidency and express my love to them and grateful for their love for each one of us. This has been a long time coming. You might remember that I was scheduled to speak here in September. And on short notice, Elder Kieran exchanged dates with me, on very short notice, actually. I had an unexpected procedure to repair a disc, and so he was happy to oblige. That's not, you can do things to get out of an assignment. That's not what I did to get out of the assignment. And Elder Kieran was so gracious this time, and he said, well, if there's a next time, I'll do it if you're assigned to BYU Hawaii. I think you must have all enjoyed your Christmas break and the added bonus of what happened during your Christmas break. The bowl win. Wasn't that amazing? It felt like a home game for BYU when we saw all of the fans and players engaged together. And then, what is this? Does this evoke some positive emotion for you as well? There was really a spectacle of flag waving that was going on at the game. It was pregame. It was during the contest. It was following the win. This is unfurling that we see as your tradition here. The enormous BYU flag at sports events, which is quite visually striking, and it always adds to this atmosphere, doesn't it? I wondered about having one here, but have you done that in a devotional before? Elevating your school spirit, representing so many things that are part of your BYU experience. Now let's switch gears here. We're going to travel back several months now. Can you remember this scene? It seemed that the entire world was focused on the Paris Olympics, the Summer Games of 2024. Television viewership for those games, it was off the charts. It was like 30 million viewers a night, up over 80% from what had been in the Tokyo Olympics. Lisa and I watched when we could, and what we viewed, we really enjoyed. Maybe you remember this. The men's basketball final. In that final, Steph Curry scored 24 points that were all three-pointers, and he led Team USA to an Olympic gold. Here is the court after the win, where he's proudly holding the U.S. flag. And if you think about Olympics, flags were everywhere. They carry a special significance at every Olympic event. So here, the iconic Eiffel Tower in the background, flags of competing nations posted for the world to see. So we're going to talk a little bit more about flags today. They're familiar. They represent a full range of institutions filled with symbolism and meaning. Athletes carried their flags in a show of patriotism and unity. It was quite the pageantry, and we felt awed watching the world come together to celebrate the best in their respective sports. There were athletes and flags from 205 nations that were marching together to close the games. Here's what we see now every day at church headquarters, now that the plaza has reopened. President Nelson envisioned flags of over 90 countries raised each day, alternating, as a symbol of the global nature of the Church of Jesus Christ, which also represented his quote, "the church's commitment to being a friend to all nations and its belief that the gospel will one day fill the whole earth." Okay, here's another image of an important flag for you to consider. Captain Moroni called his banner the title of liberty, and, quote, "he went forth among the people, waving it in the air, that all might see the writing, and ask the people to join his just cause and make a covenant with the Lord and defend their families." The title of liberty was hoisted upon every tower which was in all the land, planting a standard of liberty among the Nephites. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are his ensign. We develop and display his attributes to honor, respect, and glorify him. We can have a variety of flags demonstrating Christ-like behavior, like faith, hope, and charity, or meekness, brotherly kindness, and virtue. And so with that as a backdrop, let me share four flags that you might embrace and enhance you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. These four metaphorical flags, ensigns, banners that you might wave as you continue your education, work towards temporal and spiritual self-reliance, and strive to follow the example of the Savior. So I hope to provide some ideas to you today with these flags that are both inspiring and practical. Consider them a call of action for you. The first is to wave the ensign of peacemaker. Now, I love the light that President Nelson shed on immense social challenges of our day with just two words. Can you remember his conference address? Peacemakers needed. He then described attributes of peacemakers. Quote, "the Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire, no matter how difficult the situation." True disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers. In order to further teach this principle, I share a very familiar parable with an interpretation that might not be so familiar. Martin Luther King Jr., whom we honored with a national holiday yesterday, often referred to the parable of the Good Samaritan in his speeches to illustrate themes of peace, love, and social justice. One of his most notable mentions of this parable was in his speech titled, "I've Been to the Mountaintop," delivered in Memphis, Tennessee on the day before his assassination. In this speech, he interprets the New Testament parable to emphasize the importance of selflessness regardless of circumstances. Here's a quote from that speech. Quote, "the first question that the priest and the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the Good Samaritan reversed the question, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him?" So Reverend King used this reversal to challenge one to extend concern beyond personal consequence and take action in the face of injustice for the betterment of the whole. These Christ-like attributes are central to the role of peacemaker. A peacemaker must consider the needs of the other as much or more than their own. This perspective of peacemaker not only calls for individual responsibility, but it underscores our connection to all people. We can elevate our flag of peacemaker higher. We can make an impact. Let me tell you about an acquaintance of mine who saw a problem and decided she wanted to make a difference. Interestingly, it began with her own family. She described herself as generally conservative, but at the time, her family of grown children represented 5 different political parties across the spectrum. And so this would have made for interesting dinner conversations. She observed how careful and thoughtful family and community members, thought leaders, and politicians needed to be in their discourse with each other. How might one remain a peacemaker while still holding to personal views and values? She's the creator of a nonprofit where, a co-creator of a nonprofit where a group of remarkable people developed something called the Dignity Index. So this index measures whether others are treated with dignity or contempt by the word that one speaks or writes in the public square. Its goal is to ease divisions, prevent violence, and solve problems, or, in other words, to nurture peacemakers. The Dignity Index scores distinct phrases along an 8-point scale from contempt on the one extreme to dignity on the other. The lower scores 1 through 4, reflect divisive language, while higher scores, 5 through 8, reflect language grounded in dignity. The lowest, number 1, is characterized by they're not even human, it's our moral duty to destroy them before they destroy us. As it moves along the spectrum, level 4, we're better than those people. They don't really belong. They're not one of us. Level 5, now moving toward more dignified speech. The other side has a right to be here and a right to be heard. They belong here too. But as you get to the highest level in the index, each one of us is born with inherent worth. So we treat everyone with dignity, no matter what. The application of this Dignity Index has been very effective in bringing down the temperature in conversation. In order to measure this, then, a nationwide group of certified analysts, they score political ads, debates, speeches, and campaign messaging against the index. And so this has helped elevate awareness for both messengers and recipients, developing a greater sensitivity to strive for more civil discourse. This peacemaking effort affecting many people started with just a few people with a smile and who dared to try. I think President Nelson would be pleased with your intentional effort to be a peacemaker. It was on a hill above the Sea of Galilee that Jesus Christ himself warmly encouraged this attribute with a blessing and a promise. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And President Nelson stated, "I plead with us to work together for peace, for mutual respect, and for an outpouring of love for all of God's children." So, carry the flag of a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Albert Einstein once said, "Peace cannot be kept by force. It can only be achieved by understanding." Which leads to our next banner, which is the banner of understanding. I go back to my days as a university student. Before the advent of so many of these liberating elements of technology, much of the life of a student revolved around the library. We had early mornings and late nights, in and out through the day. My library was the library at Utah State University. Each time I entered the doors, this is a little bit hard to see, but there was a greeting engraved in a wooden sign over the entry with a scripture from Proverbs. That scripture is, "And with all thy getting, get understanding." And to this day, that scripture remains there, and it is really indelibly ingrained in my mind. Each of you now who are here are moving deeper into that with all thy getting phase of that scripture. With all thy getting, get understanding. Well, what is the getting, other things that you'll be getting? Well, for me, at your age, I was doing exactly as you are. I was getting or meeting and trying to marry my girlfriend Lisa, okay? It was hard work to make that happen. I was also getting a car, hoping to get a job, hoping to get a salary, which would lead to a house and a mortgage, and hopefully someday the joy of children. With all thy getting, get understanding. What is the understanding part that we're admonished to get? In this context, I think it goes beyond just understanding or comprehension. As I've studied and observed the use of the word understanding in the scriptures from the words of living prophets, I've come to realize a deeper meaning. Elder Robert D. Hales described that meaning in a way that makes sense to me. First, we start with intelligence with which we were born. To our intelligence, we add knowledge as we search for answers, study, and educate ourselves. To our knowledge, we add experience, which should lead us to a level of wisdom. In addition to our wisdom, we add the help of the Holy Ghost through our prayers of faith, asking for spiritual guidance and strength. Then and only then do we reach an understanding in our hearts, which motivates us to do what is right. We should practice to perfect traits of understanding the way we communicate. This especially includes the ongoing challenge of being active listeners, truly listening to understand, not just respond. When we think of our smartphones, we have advanced in so many ways, yet how many have found yourself, like me, multitasking on your phone while someone is speaking to you? Has that happened, Lisa? Listening should consume over half of your conversation. It requires deliberate, thoughtful concentration to listen. So a little hint: when conversing, listen. Pause before replying and repeat back what you've heard to ensure comprehension and understanding. President Nelson calls this building bridges of understanding. This is what he said about this. He said, if a friend on social media has strong political or social views that violate everything you believe in, an angry, cutting retort by you will not help. Building bridges of understanding will require much more of you, but that is exactly what your friend needs. And he said, we need to foster fundamental respect for the human dignity of every soul, regardless of their color, creed, or cause. So let's think about how we might do that with waving our banner of understanding. Okay, the next banner that we'd like to talk about is the flag of restoration. Now, this embodies everything that you are, sons and daughters of loving heavenly parents, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, active participants on the covenant path. Each of these roles are magnified, enabled, made possible by the restoration of the Church of Jesus Christ. Carrying the flag of the restoration means we hope to introduce its unique message to others. It seems the best way to do this is in normal and natural ways. But to do it, the Lord speaks directly on this matter when he said, ye are the light of the world, the city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, gratefully, the Savior's admonition can be accomplished through simple, easily understandable principles taught to each of us from childhood. Love, share, and invite. I've spoken about this in general conference before, and here I like to reiterate these simple precepts again. It's a wonderful way for us to proudly and boldly carry the banner of the restoration. Remarkably, the first of these, love, is one of the most intuitive, natural elements of your everyday digital life. As digital natives, you constantly, even maybe now, perhaps hourly, you express your approval, your support, and your love with an emoji. You know what I'm talking about. Look at this text from our 4-year-old granddaughter recently sent to Lisa. Can you see the massive emojis is dominated by what? It's the heart, right? Representing love. This demonstrates a great attribute of your generation, which is very different from that of mine. You're so comfortable, it's natural for you to show love to others, even with this symbol. You even count how many hearts you accumulate, right? Now, Jesus Christ is the role model of love. The first thing we can do is to love as Christ loved. Whenever we show Christ-like love toward our neighbor, we're preaching the gospel, even if we don't voice a single word. By demonstrating Christ's love to others, we may cause those who see our good works to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. The second thing you do well is to share. You love and you share so well. We share things that we see, the places we visit, art that we like, quotes that we're inspired by. You're doing this almost hourly as well, sharing things with others. So how might you simply add to the list of things we already share what we love about the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so I repeat again, sharing isn't about selling the gospel. We don't have to write a sermon or correct someone's incorrect perceptions. When it comes to missionary work, God doesn't need you to be his sheriff. He wants you to be his sharer. And as we share our positive experiences in the gospel with others, we wave the ensign of the restoration. Okay, love, share, and the third thing you can do is to invite. There's hundreds of invitations we can extend to others. We invite others to come and see a primary or an Easter program, a YSA activity. It can be an invitation to read the Book of Mormon or visit a temple during its open house. You can share uplifting messages through social media. You are more aware than me, likely, of the hundreds, if not thousands, of uplifting things that you might find worthy of sharing, which lead to invitations. I watched firsthand how Lisa extended herself to a family in a very normal and natural way. It was a remarkable model and continues to be for me of love, share, and invite. It was while we were living in Japan. Extending an invitation to a friend who was the mother of one of our sons, our fourth grade son at the time, classmates, to attend a concert of a Latter-day Saint performer, which led to remarkable outcomes. Here's a picture of that night after the concert in the mission home. A simple invitation to attend an activity, and nearly 3 years later, after many missionaries and missionary lessons, the two boys who attended school with our son Kyle were baptized by their now fully participating father. 8 years later, their mother was baptized. A year after that, we took this picture with their family following their sealing in the Taiwan temple, where our sons, who were fourth graders when they met, now both missionaries serving in Taiwan. Remarkably, this was a journey which had begun 9 years earlier with just a simple invitation for this family to attend an activity in our meeting house in Japan. The power of love, share, and invite as a normal and natural way to carry the banner of the restoration will bless you and the lives of many others. Okay, finally, be the flag bearer of engagement. Be active. Get involved in good causes. Judge Thomas Griffiths, a church member and retired U.S. Circuit Judge, advocated for the awareness that civil charity, the idea that we owe each other kindness and respect in the public sphere, is a cornerstone of the democratic engagement. We're informed by the wise words of King Benjamin, when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of your God. And so as you embark on the next chapter of your life, strive to make a meaningful contribution as you engage in the new countries, communities, neighborhoods, and wards, wherever you might be. And this can be done in simple and small ways as you keep the commandment to love your neighbor, and also in more formal civic charity and engagement. We encourage and we're grateful for members of the church who seek valuable places of public service at every level. Here, President Oakes said, "We should be knowledgeable citizens who are active in making our influence felt in civic affairs. In the United States and in other democracies, political influence is exercised by running for office, which we encourage, by voting, by financial support, by membership and service in political parties, and by ongoing communication to officials, parties, and candidates. To function well, a democracy needs all of these. But a conscientious citizen does not need to provide all of them. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We don't have to do it all. But we choose to do what we can." So let's close with one last very good example of engagement. Here you see Tanner and Allie Ward, a young BYU graduated family who were in medical school in Louisiana. Tanner was busy in school, church, and with his young family, yet he had a desire to make a contribution somehow. He saw an opportunity to become engaged, observing the trauma and loneliness of cancer patients and their need to receive ministering. He began simple weekly cancer walks, first with patients to uplift their spirits, to improve their health, just to feel loved and valued. And then family members began participating. Over the course of time, this led to elevated hope and instilled in the hearts of cancer patients a desire to serve their fellow patients. Here's a group of patients leading weekly walks for other patients. And due to the success of these weekly walks, an annual cancer survivor walkathon was created, which is enjoyed by hundreds in the community. Sponsors underwrite the event, allowing it to raise money to fund other noteworthy community charities. Now, Tanner was even recognized by the state legislature for his founding efforts, which created hope and happiness for those in need. Tanner graduated from medical school, but these weekly cancer walks continue, and the walkathon has become an annual community tradition. You see, engagement leaves a lasting impact in the hearts of those you serve, and sometimes even in the hearts of entire communities. We hope you'll engage in good causes wherever you might be. Boldly carry the banner of engagement. So, as we conclude with you today and see you gathered here in this beautiful Marriott Center, to us you feel like a literal ensign of nations, disciples of Jesus Christ representing Him and the Church of Jesus Christ. So, go forth, proudly carrying His banner, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which banner includes that of peacemaker, and the banner of understanding, the banner of restoration, and the banner of engagement. Carry them with enthusiasm, with dignity, and as pure vessels, daughters and sons of our loving Heavenly Father. It's a privilege for me to be here to talk to you about these remarkable gospel precepts and principles, brothers and sisters.
We're blessed, blessed as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We're blessed with our connections to heaven. We're blessed with an understanding of God the Father, of Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Ghost, with the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost bears testimony of the Father and the Son. And so, as disciples of Jesus Christ, let's together put upon His attributes, listen to the two great commandments, to love the Lord and to love our neighbors, and bear testimony of Him to the world, which I do for you. I bear testimony of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, a special witness of Jesus Christ as the Savior and Redeemer of the world. I bear testimony that He is the Son of the living God, the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, and I offer that witness of Him to you in His holy name, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.